May all we hear from your word today be put in practice of our lives. And everything we are and everything we do, may it be a worship to you, even on this Good Friday day. We thank you for your word. Amen. Now, I've got to make a confession. I've came with a prepare with about 16 pages of doing a sermon, and as just I was sitting there, I felt this is not good. That's not what God wants me to say, really, whatsoever. So I apologize for Kevin, because that guy prepared a lot of pictures, and as these guys were leading the worship, I felt that the Lord wants me to share another story with you from the scripture, completely different from what I've prepared for so many hours there. And really, I don't know why, but I felt that this is right to do that. And especially as I think with Jan to pray just before, and then Renata pray, you know, Lord, we might not understand your love, but we believe. We believe. And it suddenly just came into my mind that I hope is from the Holy Spirit, this incredible image of this woman in the scripture. And I want to read those words to you from Luke chapter 7. Jesus anointed by a sinful woman. A very powerful story. Now, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house, reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a very sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and put perfume on them. When the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Jesus answered, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two men owe money in a certain moneylender to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he cancelled the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more? Someone replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt cancelled. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned towards the other woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has put perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much, but he who has been forgiven little loves little. And if it is in one sentence, if you were to ask me what this thing is all about that we concentrate and reflect on today, if it's one only word that I could describe it, just one word, we come back to that very powerful word that is today called forgiveness. This is about forgiveness. It's about forgiveness and forgiving ourselves, which we struggle so much. When we look at our past, when we look at our sins, when we look at our lifestyle, you know, I feel standing here even this morning like a prostitute. Because so many times we fall into sin. Yet you come back, we come back, I come back to the cross of Jesus. I find very difficult to forgive myself. Yet, that's why I'm here. To be reminded that the power of the cross forgives me, forgives you. It reminds me that forgiveness is also about forgiving others. That's another probably series of about 40 years to preach on. Forgiving others is one of the most difficult things probably we will have to do. It's okay to forgive people when they kind of accidentally pour a cup of coffee over our new suit and our lovely silky shirt. But it's a very difficult one when your son, your daughter has been raped and been killed. And it's very difficult to bring even those hard acts of forgiveness to the cross. And yet there is something in the power of the cross that brings us forgiveness to our sin, to our lifestyle, to our past. Imagine this woman, bless her. She's been lived all her life as a prostitute. One morning she wakes up, she gets her lovely dresses, she puts them on, she gets her lovely necklace put on, and she goes for her business. She goes to the corner of the road, and she is waiting there for the new man to come. And as she's sitting there, men pass by, and she looks at her all the time very lustfully, admiring her hair, admiring her perfume, admiring her body, for that matter. But one day she hears that Jesus, this new guy in town, goes to a Pharisee's house, and she's probably going to check him out to see if he's a man. And she goes in and she bursts in. And for the first time, she feels that this man listen to her heart, not as a prostitute, but as a child of God, as a woman, as a real, real woman. For the first time ever, she feels loved. She feels forgiven. And for a woman like her to do an act like that, to take her hair. Now, a woman in that time, the only time she would have opened her hair was intimately with her husband in bed. Nobody would have been allowed in the Middle East to any woman to show her hair to any man. The extent of the love that she feels from this new guy in town, from this Jesus, is so huge that she lets her hair down. She gets a little necklace where there's alabaster perfume, which brings another big jar of alabaster that she carries with him for her lovers to put in bed, and she pours it on Jesus' feet. Unashamedly. Why? Because the power of forgiveness in that woman's heart. She's the only woman, she's the only person in the New Testament that understood ages before what this is all about, the anointing of Jesus Christ. The power of the cross, so powerfully, that this woman wipes Jesus' feet with her hair. She cleans them with the water. And it's funny because in that story, as I look hard just now this morning, to find a way in which Christ rebukes her. There is no rebuke. It's the Pharisees who says, if you would have known who this woman is, you would have never touched her. You would have never come into this house. And I don't find Jesus rebuking the woman, ever. I find quite the opposite. In what verse there it says, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet. It's the other way around. Jesus always had problem with the religious folk of his day. With those who live by law rather than by grace. Who live by the letter rather by the spirit and the graceful act of forgiveness of Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, forgiveness is what this cross is all about. And I want to read you, and I'm going to close with this. And I said to Kevin, I'll be within 10 minutes. I've got 2 more minutes, so I'm doing good. But it's this passage in John chapter 20. And we know Mary, who just washed Jesus' feet earlier on. And this is what happens after Jesus' resurrection. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary is the same Mary who washed Jesus' feet, anointed him, and wiped his feet with her hair. Stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They ask a woman, "Why are you crying?" "They had taken my Lord," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." And then she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," she said, "why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you had carried him away, tell me where have you put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." Those are the most powerful words, echoes of forgiveness. God will not ever call you a prostitute, a sinner, guilty, condemned, judge. He will call you my son and my daughter. And that is the power of the cross. Your name is written on that, on his palms, because of the power of forgiveness today and forevermore. This is what Good Friday is all about. There's a God who forgives, who has forgiven you. We might not understand it as we pray this morning, but we know that one day we'll be called by name into his kingdom, hugged, embraced, and forever, forever celebrating with the Lamb of God who was slain for the sins of the world to bring forgiveness to all people. Let's just pray and then we'll have our song together. Father, we just want to thank you so much again for the power of forgiveness that you brought us in your love through Jesus Christ. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who is at work in us, continuously helping us to understand and convincing us of God's love for us. Father, we want to pray today, and I want to pray for my brothers and sisters here, those who cannot forgive themselves, that today, this morning, they will leave out of here feeling filled not only of forgiveness but also of joy. I want this day for many of us here to be remembered as a day where the Holy Spirit has come in power to forgive, to cleanse, to purify. I pray that this morning your word will echo in the lives of those people here who struggle to forgive themselves. I pray this morning for those who are in difficult relationships, finding it hard to forgive, finding it hard to say sorry. I pray for those who have been the victims of others, who suffer still in silence today. Father, I pray for the healing of the cross to come and touch their lives this morning. I pray for your Holy Spirit to begin some great work of restoration, rehabilitation, and rejoicing in people's lives today because of the cross. And Father, including myself in this, I pray that you will help us forgive you. Many of us still have the questions of why this has happened. Why me? We know that we have a loving God who cries with us in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our agony. Lord, we want to know you and the power of your forgiveness more intimately and more powerfully, so that we may live life of joy, of complete surrender, and of celebration. May your blessing come on us as we pour our hearts to you in full surrender. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.